Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, let's see. It's 38 minutes past. Oh, my God. How many is that two then? It's about 22 to 3 o'clock or thereabouts. 51552 is our text. And back after a three-year hiatus due to COVID-19, of course, Glastonbury is set to welcome over 200,000 people to the Somerset Hills this weekend. There's been a lot there yesterday, a lot today, and a lot tomorrow. And there's been so many years when so many people broke in. But roughly, it's about 200,000 to 210,000 or thereabouts. So what started in 1970 as the Pilton Pop Blues and Folk Festival on a farm in Somerset, it's grown into an enormous weekend of theatre, arts, music, cabaret, playing host to the biggest music acts in the world. So this weekend, Paul McCartney, Billy Eilish, Kendrick Lamar, they are the headliners on the sort of main stage, the pyramid stage of the weekend. It's Paul McCartney tonight and Kendrick Lamar tomorrow. And the Pet Shop Boys and a million others are going to grace the Glastonbury stages. So music journalist Andrea Cleary is here now to talk all things Glastonbury. Andrea, talk all things Glastonbury. 200,000 people, it's not a record, no?
No, the record was actually set back in 1994 when 300,000 people reportedly attended.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure how accurate the numbers are. I don't think they were counting the numbers as they do at the moment, but reportedly 300,000 people attending it. Of course, when it had its first iteration back in 1979, I believe, the day after Jimi Hendrix passed away, 1,500 people attended.
And T-Rex were the headliners.
They weren't supposed to be. They filled in for the Kinks.
That was it.
And Mark Bolan arrived at the festival in a Cadillac that was so big it barely fit through the gates. He needed a hand fitting it through the gates, and tickets were £1.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you how much it's changed now. That used to be a one-day festival. Now it's 5 days with 3 days.
And then the next year, David Bowie, even though it still wasn't big.
Still wasn't big.
He wasn't that big at the time either.
No. And I mean, it's grown significantly since then. I mean, it's unbelievable now. It's a mecca for not only music lovers, but just
festival goers. Yeah, let's take a look at that bit there. I mean, festival goers, they're a thing, which doesn't necessarily mean they even see any music. So it is about the music, really, and that's the glue that keeps it together. But it is more than just that, isn't it? I mean, it's called the Festival of Contemporary Performing Arts.
It is the festival, a festival of contemporary performing arts. Interestingly, we don't get to see much of those contemporary performing arts
on telly
or on radio. It is definitely the music that we're focusing on, but it also has a major focus on sustainability. It is and was inspired by the counterculture of the 1960s, and it's known for having these fallow years every 5 years or so where the land and the locals and the organisers and the cows and all the wildlife, they can all have a bit of a break. So 2018 was the last official fallow year.
Yeah, I bet you they hadn't done that, because there was 2 years, there was four on them anyway.
Yeah, so it's the land should be nice and rested now for everybody to head back down. It ended up having three fallow years then, so everything should be nice and stable.
Yeah, I mean, I was working a lot in London in the mid-90s, and I would have gone in 96, but there was a fallow year there. So I went to 95 and 97, but I haven't been there since. So let's take a look at the whole thing about the first class, we just said, went on the day after Jimi Hendrix died. Mm. It was the Pilton Pop Festival. The headliners were the Kinks and Wayne Fontana, but the Kinks didn't arrive, etc. Now, the other people working on it, I mean, there's just an enormous amount of volunteers and cleaner-uppers even afterwards as well. Tell me just how many would there be?
I'm not sure how many. I think that the 200,000 that are there this year are the attendees, and then you're looking at an extra 10 to 20,000 who are workers, mostly volunteers, but things like security and bar staff are employees, but it is mostly run by volunteers, and it's got a major charity aspect to it as well. So you can go to the festival, volunteer, and you get to go to the festival for free if you work for a charity, if you are there collecting money or collecting signatures or collecting names. So it also has a big, like, people be collecting signatures for various causes as well. Yeah. So it does have quite a political
and an awful lot of the profits go to Oxfam and Greenpeace and CND and Wee Water and all the rest of it, whatever it's called, water, whatever. So let's take a look then at some of the sort of, if you like, biggest acts that have played Glastonbury, particularly memorable performances. Who would you point out?
Yeah, I mean, of course, as you mentioned, T-Rex in 1970. I'd say, I mean, in 2008, I don't know if you remember, there was a major controversy.
Hip-hop is allowed in.
Hip hop is here.
I can't believe it was that long ago.
I know. Yeah, and we're still sort of having conversations about that now, which is interesting. But Jay-Z was announced as a headliner, really ruffled feathers, most notably Noel Gallagher's feathers, who isn't one to get his feathers ruffled usually. But you know, he took issue with the fact that a hip hop artist would be playing the main stage, the Pyramid Stage at Glastonbury, when he is quite a purist when it comes to that festival.
Yeah.
He's thinking it should be preserved for guitar music. Jay-Z, of course, opened his set with a cover of Wonderwall, which was fantastic. And then, I mean, even in 2015, we were still having this conversation about hip-hop when Kanye West headlined. And I think arguably it was even more pronounced that year because West had kind of moved into the pop sphere as well. You might remember this as being the performance where he started an impromptu performance of Bohemian Rhapsody and forgot the words
vaguely,
around halfway
really?
Through.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah, the crowd really helped him out with that. But
Scaramouche.
Yeah. He did. He sort of just jumped around. He's Kanye. He kind of does his own thing.
Like when you think, like sometimes they take a bit of time to put all sorts of music in, but they've had rock and pop and punk and R&B and hip hop and electronic and everything else. So you know, as I say, the really weird thing between 95 and 97, they had a dance tent in 95. In 97, they had a dance village. So it takes a bit of time to get the whole lot there, you know. It's
it does,
fine.
And I mean, like even a band like the Happy Mondays played back in 1990,
yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, you certainly wouldn't put them in with guitar music. They're much closer to being kind of dance music than they will be guitar music. But they also are supposedly the reason why the fence was erected around the site because they brought a massive entourage of people and a laminate machine so that they could print off fake passes for anyone who wanted to get to any of the bars.
Do they know?
Backstage. Yeah.
Very happy.
So the next year the perimeter fence went up, so you decide if those two things are related or not.
Have you been there?
I haven't been. I'm slightly terrified of the scale of it. I mean, I was watching Billie Eilish last night and any of those big aerial shots. It looks like a city. It is.
Well,
incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many were watching her. Those areas. There must be probably about 70 or 80,000 maybe watching that one because there's another 130,000 doing something else. No interest in that part. Mm. I mean, one of the things about a festival like this is you just do lose yourself in a different world, and you basically miss 75% of it.
Well,
you have to. There's no way you can over the whole weekend. The 75% you just don't see.
Yeah.
Also with the bands that play. I mean, if for instance there are 3,000 performers and 100 stages and there's 900 different acres and there's all these areas, and within areas you could spend a whole day without even leaving out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane.
I was wondering recently if they might in future go for a kind of a Primavera model over 2 weekends, and then you might get the opportunity to see more bands.
Yeah, or like Coachella. That's a Friday, Coachella. Saturday and Sunday, and then it's the following Friday and Saturday Sunday with the same lineup.
Yeah. It might spread things out.
There is one
bit,
thing about Coachella and maybe about Primavera most of the time too, and it really does make a difference to me, and I'm not being pampered or anything. The weather's very good. And the weather, like people say, it doesn't matter if it rains. It does.
It does matter if it rains.
It just matters.
I was at Body and Soul last weekend. It rained for one of the days. It was sunny for two. Yeah. And I'll tell you which 2 days I had more fun.
Right.
This is the point.
You just said earlier on that it was a great weekend, so presumably you had good fun all 3 days.
All 3 days, but definitely the sunshine makes a difference.
It's not even that. I remember one time Electric Picnic, it started raining at about 5 o'clock or so, and he said, I'll just hang out in here till the rain stops.
Yeah.
By 1 o'clock in the morning, see, it was just lashing down the whole time. I'm sorry, I just left. It's just like I didn't stay for the Sunday. I said, right, that's enough.
Yeah,
I did come back, actually.
People who talk about Glastonbury, who go every year, who really treat it as a pilgrimage, talk about the idea of, you know, you're supposed to go and get covered in mud and you're supposed to go.
No, thanks. Not really.
And I actually don't think you're supposed to do anything.
The other side of it too, some of the worst camping grounds, like, do you really want to sleep in a six-pack? No. You just don't.
Maybe I'm just getting older.
If that's the case, then fine. I am, and I just don't want to do that bit of it. You know. But anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah. So, when we have our festivals here, we have the Electric Picnic, and obviously, All Together Now is really building up to be something too. Like, we only had 2 years. There's a good example. I went to both All Together Nows. The first one was about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, and it was the sunniest weekend of the year. Mm. The next one. The one the year after, there was a lot of rain.
Yeah.
Like a lot of rain. I was watching Bob Marley. Sorry, I don't know why I'm ranting, but I was watching the Wailers, without Bob Marley. There was all this beautiful reggae, sunshine music, and everybody was dripping. Mm-hmm. It was just like, really? It's just, you know, you were hiding your pint because you didn't want the rain to get into it.
Well, anyway, maybe that's why it's, I personally am very grateful that I can sit on my couch and enjoy
Glastonbury. Well, this is what I want to say. So television is what we have this weekend, and it's all there. And like some of the stuff yesterday, even like I was just saying earlier that like the Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, you get into it after a while and it's actually pretty good. You know, I didn't like it at the first minute or two, but then I did. And not because he did Led Zeppelin songs, but it was just cool. And The Crowded House is a good example I saw yesterday. Not that easy to play that kind of nice pop song stuff when it's not dark. It kind of needs to be dark, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely saw later in the evening, I mean, Billie Eilish come on at 9:30.
Yeah.
It was pitch black by the time she finished.
Just explain something to me about London as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I was looking out the window where I was watching. It was quite bright here. It was absolutely, completely dark by
the
time she went on.
I don't understand that at all.
Like, 10 o'clock at night, it was bright in Dublin. And then 10 o'clock in Glastonbury, it was completely dark.
I had the same thought. And I was like, oh, I must have looked
that up. Get a meteorologist on the phone, quick.
Yeah. But it was dark for Billie Eilish. And thankfully it was.
Helped.
Because she had a brilliant stage set up. It was just her.
It was the same as
brother.
The one in the O2 last week.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry, in the Three Arena.
Her and her brother Phineas. A kind of a ramp thing that was also a screen, and then loads and loads of pyrotechnics, which you expect at Glastonbury.
Yeah.
And she did a really good job, you know, the youngest ever headline act. She's also kind of the first of her kind in that she is definitely listened to by quite a young audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at the three headline acts over the weekend, you've Billie Eilish for the younger people, you've got Paul McCartney for, I mean, arguably everybody, but for the older crowd, and then you've got Kendrick Lamar for that kind of caption group in the middle.
Yeah.
So they have made a good decision, I think, with the three headliners over the weekend. Yeah,
yeah, but one of the things that is kind of missing, I think, from Glastonbury, which is a good thing, I would imagine, let them go to their own festival, is teenagers. It's that little bit better that people are, because it really is, you've got to be cool if you're going to be with 200,000 people living in the same field for 4 days, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's 4 days. The idea of it being 4 days might put people off. I mean, we've got 1 day festivals.
Or 5 days even. It starts on Wednesday, really.
5 days.
In fact, the biggest audience for Thursday, the biggest thing watched on Thursday, was the sun setting. They were all up on the hill watching. It was the biggest crowd they had, you know, which is very hippie and very whatever, but it's great.
It is. And I don't know how much the teenagers would like that, but they did seem to enjoy Billie Eilish. I saw a good few of them in the crowd.
I saw like under 10s. Then again, there's a lot of, like, as I say, there's the older crowd-ish if you're over 25 plus, and then there's also like the tiny little kids. And the kids, like, they could go to this kids area there, and you could have, what's his name, Julian Fellows, who wrote Downton Abbey. He's reading The Wind in the Willows to you every hour.
I mean, I think I'd personally enjoy
Yeah. There's female-only sort of sites as well. There's all sorts where you can only whatever there. And then there's like so many other things. Like there's one of the places where it's just bunch of DJs. It's just a venue called Shangri-La, and like there's about 20 different places where there's 500 people watching each DJ, and that's just in one section of about 40 sections. So you're never going to see anything, really. You know?
No, that's it. I mean, if you're somebody that suffers with FOMO at all, maybe this isn't the festival for you, or you'd end up coming home and watching the highlights on the iPlayer or whatever and saying, oh God, we should have gone to that actually, because the other thing we went to wasn't as good as this. If you're a FOMO person, maybe it's not for you.
What about the Irish acts?
Yeah, loads of Irish acts this year. I mean, we have Fontaines DC. Yesterday we had Denise Chyla on the BBC introducing stage. She did a brilliant, brilliant set. And then in the past we had actually also this year more to look out for: Just Mustard, Robo Cobra Quartet, Orla Gartland, and New Dad. But I mean,
New Dad are back to Fairview tonight. Like Inhaler played the John Peel stage. There was the acoustic stage with Hot House Flowers and Undertones and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
although they're not very acoustic. I think the Undertones played the acoustic stage, but there's just so, I mean, there's also Damien Dempsey and Mary Coughlan was there yesterday, Bicep and all of these people. But the funny thing is that we had Nick Kelly and Dr. Miller on the programme the other week, and they cycled, dogs is what they call themselves now, they've cycled to Glastonbury, spending 5 days or something, getting there over a week.
Oh my God, I'd spend the 5 days asleep, I think, in the tent if I'd done that. And of course we've got Brian Kennedy.
Brian Kennedy and Roisin Murphy.
Of an afternoon, and we have headlined, there's been major Irish headlines on the Pyramid Stage in the past before as well. We've had Van Morrison, Boomtown Rats, Sinead O'Connor, U2. They were supposed to headline in 2010, but they pulled out and were replaced by Gorillaz, but they came back the following year and headlined. And we've also had Christy Moore and Ash as well. So I don't imagine it'll be too long until
we
get
Ash
another.
Played the year I was, one of the years out there. So
did you catch them?
I did, but I mean, like when I think of who was there when I was there, the amount of things I didn't catch, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, there was Massive Attack, and I saw Soul Asylum and The Charlatans. Jeff Buckley played, never saw him there.
Wow.
The Cure, I saw about 10 minutes. Elastica, I never saw The Verve. But in the 97 one, it was the 95 one, something did happen that actually was a piece of rock history, and I didn't really take it in at all. It was Oasis playing, right? And they were playing on stage doing their thing, and they bring on the cheeky chappy from a boy band. That's such a... No, you can't do that. A guy called Robbie Williams.
Oh,
and directly after that, he said, rock and roll is for me. And he left, take that. And of course, there was St. John Ambulance men calling to people's houses, trying to save the girls. And his solo career, bigger than take that.
And you were there? You were at
I
that,
saw,
you saw
I don't remember too much about it. He came on. I don't really remember.
Yeah. Who's this guy?
Yeah, well, no, I did. I knew who he was, but it didn't register, you know.
Yeah.
And there was Supergrass. And Neil Young was supposed to play that year and didn't. I do remember that. The big one in 97 for me was Radiohead, and I did see all of that, and it was fantastic. Yeah, Ash, Irish band, were one of the headliners on that too.
Yeah, they played the Pyramid Stage.
Yeah.
And that Radiohead performance from that year is available online and in various different places.
I didn't realise the Rats headline, did they? They were a big thing.
They headlined, Van Morrison as well, Sinead O'Connor. So there has been, but not for a while now, and I wonder when or who will be the next Irish
maybe Fontaines
act to,
as a head,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Have the Fontaines played yet? Are they playing today or tomorrow? I don't know if they played yesterday.
They are playing today, I believe, at around 4:30.
Right.
I'm going to check.
Will you be watching stuff later on?
I will, definitely.
Will you watch Paul McCartney? Will you still have a voice?
Will I watch Paul McCartney? I cancelled dinner plans tonight because I realised that Paul was on today instead of yesterday.
Hold on a second. Are you a fan, yeah?
Oh, yes, yeah. Massive fan. And I mean, I watched the Get Back documentary about four times since it's come out.
My God, that's 24 hours. Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's absolutely brilliant.
What was I going to say about, what do you call it, Billie Eilish last night? She has some great songs. I don't particularly like the fact that she joins songs up and you put bellyache with kind of, you know, whatever, you know. I'm not so sure if that's the right thing to do.
I thought the sound engineers did a very, very good job with
fantastic.
Her voice, because she sings in quite a low register and quite softly.
Yeah.
And I've no idea how it sounded there, but at least watching it on the television, you could hear everything.
I'm sure there's quite a bit of stuff on tape.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. Yeah, she gave out in the middle of it. Did you see that?
She said, why is that voice singing?
And she kind of gave out. And it was during one of the slower songs.
Yeah,
it was a weird moment.
She maybe shouldn't have, because who was singing? She was.
Yeah, it was her.
So, there's no need to point it out there now, really.
Yeah. But then, so she was the youngest ever. Paul McCartney is going to be the oldest ever. He celebrated his 80th birthday just last weekend as well. And then tomorrow there's Kendrick Lamar as well. And then just over the next couple of days there's a bedroom rock act called Biba Doobie. How it sounds, who I really like, who plays the John Peel stage today at 4:30. I'd recommend checking her out. Greta Thunberg will make an appearance on the Pyramid stage at around 5 p.m. Presumably to discuss kind of sustainability and climate change. And then tonight as well, I would recommend checking out Olivia Rodrigo at 6:45 before you settle in for Paul McCartney.
There's Olivia Rodrigo and there's Lorde and there's a lot of people who
Lorde
would be
as well around 7:30, I think she's on. So it's,
and one thing you didn't mention was the Heritage Act that always takes place about tea time on a Sunday.
Yes, tea time on Sunday. Diana Ross on the Legend
year.
Stage. Actually, 4 p.m.
Sorry, not Heritage. My God, Legend.
Legend stage. Yeah, she does clash with Fontaines DC. Sorry, Fontaines DC are tomorrow at 4:30 on the other stage.
All right.
But I don't know what the Venn diagram between fans of those two are. But I will certainly be watching Diana. I think.
Well, not so much the Venn diagram as the distance. It's probably about a mile away.
That's true. Yeah. And then tomorrow evening you've got Lorde at 7:30 before Kendrick kicks off at 9:30.
Yeah, and all in the past you've had Neil Diamond and Shirley Bassey and obviously Kylie. because she had the breast cancer thing and couldn't play one year, and then when she came back the next year, the biggest noise you could hear.
That is an unbelievable
Dolly
set. And the Dolly set as well.
Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
He must be one of the oldest that have ever played there. But anyway, he's not. None of those are playing this weekend. This weekend, that slot is taken by Diana Ross.
Diana Ross, yeah. And I think she's going to be fantastic. Yeah, and it's I have to say the coverage of it has been really, really good. You don't quite feel like you're there, and maybe that's a good thing.
Still, just turn it up loud, you know. It's
yeah,
great. Listen, Andrea, thanks a million for talking with us.
Thank you.
Andrea Cleary, it is, as a music journalist, and more of the Glastonbury stuff on TV over the weekend. All right, take it easy, folks. Dave Tracy is next.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.